want to read to you a story this morning. It's a story that I used to read to my children. And I'm not trying to insult your intelligence at all this morning. But it has, I think you parents and grandparents will understand why I wanted to read the story to my children to make sure they understood the point that is being made. And I think the point that's being made is relevant in today's world where our culture gives us so many messages. So please indulge me as I read you a story about a people called the Wemmicks. The Wemmicks. The Wemmicks were small wooden people. These little wooden people were carved by a woodworker named Eli. Eli's workshop sat on a hill overlooking the Wemmick village. Every one of the Wemmicks was different. Some had big noses, some had large eyes, some wore tall hats, or some were tall and others were short. Some wore hats, others wore coats. But all were made by the same carver, and all lived in the same village. All day long, every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of golden star stickers and a box of dull gray dot stickers. Up and down the streets all over the city, people could be seen sticking gold stars or gray dots onto each other. The pretty Wemmicks, those with smooth wood and fine paint, always got shiny gold stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint was chipped, the Wemmicks gave dull gray dots. The talented Wemmicks got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Still others knew big words or could sing very pretty songs. Everyone gave them shiny gold stars. Some Wemmicks had stars all over them. Every time they got a star, it made them feel so good that they did something else and got another star. There were many other Wemmicks, though, that could do very little. They got dull gray dots. There was one little Wemmick, and his name was Punchinello. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, others would gather round and give him dull gray dots. Sometimes when he fell, it would scar his wood, so the people would give him more gray dots. He would try to explain why he fell, and in doing so, he would say something really silly. And then the Wemmicks would give him more dots. After a while, Punchinello had so many dots that he didn't want to go outside. He was afraid he would do something dumb, such as forget his hat or step in the water, and then people would give him more dull gray dots. In fact, he had so many gray dots that some people would come up and just give him one without any reason. He deserves lots of dots, they would say. The wooden people would agree with one another. He's not a good wooden person, they would say. After a while, Punchinello believed them. I'm not a good Wemmick, he would say. The few times he went outside, he hung around other Wemmicks who had a lot of gray dots. At least he would feel better around them. I'm going to continue that story in just a moment. But I want to tell you about something that many of us heard at Spiritual Enrichment a few weeks ago. One of the speakers was named Eric Deshawn. He's a preacher for the Hickory Knoll Church of Christ in New Orleans. He's also a licensed professional counselor. And many of us heard speeches that he made, lessons that he gave about things related to family. And those are available on Azalea City's website. So I encourage you to listen to those. One of the morning sessions, in which many of us could not be at the morning sessions, was devoted to the impact of social media. And he, in this lesson, talked about many of the positive uses of social media, like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so forth. He talked a bit about the benefits of it in communication and in building relationships and having those connections. But then he also talked about the negative impact of social media. And one of those had to do with this idea that he calls validation. Validation. Validation is unconditional positive regard. And it's simply a term that's used to describe the need that each and every one of us has, and that is to be approved or accepted in the eyes of others. And Eric talked about how that many, and it may be a lot of teenagers, but I don't think it's limited to teens, that will seek for validation through their posts on Facebook, for example. Or the selfies that they take of themselves. You know what a selfie is, don't you? I've learned. A selfie is a picture that you take of yourself and you post it on Instagram. Is that right? Okay, just making sure. By the way, I called Lacey and talked to her about some of these things in preparation for this message this morning. Now imagine this scenario. Here's a teenage boy or girl that posts a cool, pretty selfie. And what follows is a watch to see how many likes the photo gets and how many complimentary comments pile up, like, "You're so gorgeous," or "You're such a hunk." My question is, what if the likes and the comments aren't given? Or worse, what if they're negative, even derogatory? What if the teen is looking for validation and doesn't get it? How does that affect their self-worth and their outlook on life? What if instead of gold stars, people are looking for validation with likes on their Facebook message, or being labeled a favorite or retweeted because of a message on Twitter, or receiving likes because of a picture posted on Instagram? What if only the pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, get liked? What if only the talented, the ones that can lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes or say big words or can sing very pretty songs get liked? Here's the question. What if the values of our culture are used to determine importance and worth? And what if most of us don't measure up? Then we're not receiving the validation, the unconditional positive regard for which we long. And then we have some serious problems. Eric Deshawn said, "It's a matter of adolescents and teens constantly trying to define themselves," says teen development specialist Dr. Robin Silverman. "They crave positive feedback to help them see how their identity fits into their world. Social media offers an opportunity to garner immediate information. The problem is they're looking in a dangerous place." Let me go back to the Wemmick. One day, Punchinello met a Wemmick who was unlike any he'd ever met. She had no dull gray dots and did not have any shiny golden stars either. She was a wooden Wemmick and her name was Lucia. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers, it's just that the stickers didn't stick. Some admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would run up to her and give her a star, but it would fall off. And some would look down on her for having no stars, so they would give her a dot, but that wouldn't stick either. "That's the way I want to be," said Punchinello. "I don't want anyone's marks." So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it. "It's easy," Lucia replied. "Every day I go see Eli." Punchinello asked, "Eli, who is Eli?" She replied, "Eli, he's the woodcarver. I sit in his workshop and spend time with him." "And why do you do that?" he asked. "Well, why don't you go find out for yourself? Go up the hill and visit with him. He's there." And with that, the sweet little Wemmick named Lucia turned and skipped away. "But he won't want to see me," cried out Punchinello. But Lucia was too far away. She couldn't hear. So Punchinello went home. He sat near a window and watched the wooden people as they scurried around giving each other gold stars and gray dots. "It's just not right," he muttered to himself. So he resolved to go see Eli after all. Punchinello walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill and stepped into the big woodcarver shop. His little wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tippy toes to see at the top of the workbench. A hammer was as long as his arm. Punchinello swallowed hard and thought to himself, "I'm not staying here." "Punchinello?" He heard his name from a voice so deep and strong. Just then he stopped, and the voice said, "Punchinello, oh, how good it is of you to come. Let me have a look at you." Punchinello slowly turned around and looked at the large bearded craftsman and said, "Sir, you know my name?" "Of course I do," Eli said. "I made you." All of a sudden, Eli stooped down and picked little Punchinello up and set him on the workbench. The maker spoke thoughtfully as he inspected the gray circles all over him. "Looks like you've been given some bad marks." Punchinello explained, "Oh, Eli, I didn't mean to. Really, I didn't. I really tried hard not to." The maker said, "Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, my child. I don't care what other women think." Punchinello asked, "Really? You don't?" Then Eli said, "No, and you shouldn't either. Who are they to give stars or dots? They are wimmicks just like you. What they think really doesn't matter at all, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think. And I think you're pretty special." Punchinello laughed. "Oh, me? Special? How can I be special? I can't walk fast. I can't jump. My paint is peeling. I make silly mistakes all the time. And I'm not a beautiful wimmick like some of the others. How could I matter to you?" Eli looked at Punchinello and put his hands on these little wooden shoulders of his and spoke very slowly. "Because, Punchinello, you're mine. That's why you matter to me." Punchinello never had anyone look at him like this before or say anything so nice, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say. "Punchinello, every day I've been waiting and hoping you'd come to see me," Eli explained. Punchinello looked up at him and said, "I came because I met a sweet Wemmick girl who had no marks." Eli said, "I know. Lucia told me about you." So Punchinello asked, "Why don't the stickers stay on Lucia?" Eli said, "Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what anyone else thinks. The stickers only stick if you let them." Punchinello looked puzzled and said, "What?" Eli said, "Yes, the stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you will care about those stickers." Punchinello said, "I'm not sure I really understand what you're saying." The maker said, "You will, but it'll take some time. You've got a lot of marks. So for now, just come to see me every day and let me remind you of how much I care about you." Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the floor. "Now remember," Eli said as the Wemmick walked out the door, "you are special because I made you and I don't make mistakes." Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, "I think he really means it." And a gray dot fell off. And each time he went to visit and talk with Eli, one of Punchinello's dots would fall off, and they kept falling off, and soon they were all gone. The moral of the story is, we need to learn to view ourselves the way our Maker sees us. We need to seek our validation from Him and from Him alone. What does God see? when he looks at you and me. Number one, he sees someone whom he has created in his own image. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. When he sees us, he sees someone that he made in his own image. Secondly, when God sees you, he sees someone whose image has been marred by sin. And I'm not talking about gray dots and silver stars. I'm talking about the blackness of sin that comes into our lives when we disobey God. And all of us are seen as sinners because all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Consider David, King David, for a moment. Have you ever been puzzled about his state of mind after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and then tried to hide his actions by having her husband Uriah killed in battle? How did he hide that? How did he deal with that in his own mind? How long, one wonders, did David intend to carry on as if nothing happened? It may have been that he would have gone to his grave trying to keep this secret to himself and trying to suppress that guilt until Nathan the prophet confronted him. And you remember the story that Nathan told David as he confronted him? It goes like this. This is 2 Samuel chapter 12. The Lord sent Nathan to David. And he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his own bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing. And because he had no pity. And I believe at this point, Nathan looks him right in the eyes. And he says, you are the man. You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping. And gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You've killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You've taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. And you wonder why, how long would David have gone trying to ignore those sins that he had committed? And why was it a story that Nathan would tell in order to get David's attention? And I think the answer is this. Because David had to see David for who he was. And he did, didn't he? And the message for you and me is, we too must acknowledge that our image has been marred by our sin. And when God sees us, he sees us as sinners. But that's not the whole story. Because thirdly, when God sees you, he sees a sinner that he loves. Golden text of the scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him, believes in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. When he says it loves the world, he's not talking about the planet, he's talking about the people, he's talking about you and me that he loves so much, even though we're sinners. When God sees you, he sees a sinner that he wants to save. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. In fact, he's gone to great lengths in order for us to be saved from our sin. Because when God sees you, he sees a sinner for whom he gave his son. Romans 5 verse 8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And when God sees you, he sees a sinner that he wants to forgive and bring into his family. 1 John 3 verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. I like the translation that puts it this way, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Lavished, heaped, poured out on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That's what God sees. When he sees you, a sinner that he wants to forgive and bring into his family. The poet Robert Burns once declared, Lord, give us the grace to see ourselves as others see us. And I'm sure the poet was urging us to consider how our attitudes and behaviors look to others as a motivation for us to do and to be our best. However, in the end, it's not how others see us that matters. One reason is because others can be misguided in their judgments. They might be using our cultural standards to assess worth or importance. And others can even be cruel in their judgments of us. The real concern is to see ourselves as God sees us. Eric Deshaun gave these words. As Christians, our validation does not come from the amount of friends we have on Facebook. Our validation does not come from how many retweets we get from our tweets on Twitter. Our validation does not come from the amount of likes we get from our selfies on Instagram. As Christians, our validation comes from the understanding that we've been created in the image of God. As Christians, our validation comes from the knowledge that Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven and so that we can go to heaven one day. As Christians, our validation comes from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That Jesus accepts us. He approves of us as faithful children of God. And God has unconditional positive regard for us. I don't know if you feel validated or not this morning. People may have put all sorts of gray dots on you. But they don't stick unless you allow them. And my plea is that you will learn to see yourself as God sees you. He's not going to ignore the sin. In fact, he wants to deal with that sin if you'll just surrender your life to him. If you'll make his assessment of you more important than the assessment of others. He loves you. He wants you to be his child. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you can do so even this morning. Confessing your faith that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for you so that your sins can be washed away. You can turn from that life of sin and turn to following Christ and be baptized into Christ to have all the blackness of sin washed away from your life. And the promise is that as we continue to walk in the light of His Word, that the blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse us. Perhaps we need the prayers of the church to get us back on track. We need to shed those gray dots and submit ourselves once again to God. If that be the case, if you need the prayers of the church, if you need to obey the gospel, please come right now as we stand and sing.